Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast begins right now. Another hour of freedom on America's airwaves. I hope you enjoyed your 4th of July, your Independence Day. Did you see what Trump did? Wasn't it great? I loved it. The left went crazy. They went crazy. Oh my gosh, military in the streets. All Donald Trump did was celebrate our heroes, our men and women in uniform, and the left went nuts. All right, I've got a really, really good hour for you. Let me start by saying this. The National Rifle Association has been pretty good at stepping in it lately. I guess the best way to put that is stepping in their own mess kit. You can get as creative with that phrase as you want to. It's all been self-inflicted, and I've been highly critical of the top-level management at the National Rifle Association. At the same time telling you that America has to have a strong National Rifle Association as we move into 2020. It is absolutely imperative. We all want the problems at the top fixed. Joining me now, Rob Pincus, an individual who knows a little bit about what's happening at the National Rifle Association. In fact, was recently subpoenaed. We're going to go through some of those deposition tapes, and we're going to break it down for you, because what we're talking about here is not bringing the NRA down. It's fixing the National Rifle Association. Rob, welcome to the program again, my friend.
Great to be with you again, Mark. It is troubling times for American gun owners, and especially concerned NRA members like you and I.
Tell me why.
Well, the problem is the leadership and the strategies of the National Rifle Association are failing, and they've been failing for years now. They're failing to reach American gun owners in a way that's compelling. You know, less than 6%, using the best number that the NRA puts out, less than 6% of American gun owners are actually part of the organization. And we know that there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions by this point, of actual NRA members who have lost faith in the leadership and the strategies that have been failing to compel more and more American gun owners and Americans in the middle ground on gun issues to support Second Amendment rights.
Let me ask you a question. Well, we're going to play the tapes. You did an unbelievable job here at the deposition. We're going to listen to each of those. There's four different segments I want to play for my listeners today. I want them to hear you on tape as you're being deposed by the National Rifle Association's attorneys. And I also want to point out, listener, Rob is going to explain to you where he was in a very remote location in the United States of America, how many National Rifle Association attorneys were present, and how much money was spent to get the deposition. We all just, to me anyway, it seems, couldn't this have been done a little bit leaner and meaner? But Rob, let me go back to the NRA and why this is so vital and why it is so important, okay? In 2020 upcoming, Rob, you just mentioned about 5.5 million members. There's also a million or so plus. We don't know the exact number of how many people have lost faith. We know it's a substantial number. And if you look out at social media, on all social media platforms, that number is growing. And there are some very important people who are also commenting on it. People are concerned about it. And you've got now Politico just wrote a piece about just a couple days ago, Rob, about the National Rifle Association losing its clout coming up over the term of the next election, and Trump and the Republicans being concerned. Now, I don't take stock in anything Politico writes in that regard. However, the left, the anti-gun media, is in fact going to be beating up on the NRA. But what they discount is the fact that there's 95 or 100 million other gun owners that are going to step up to the plate. Rob, the question I have for you right now before we go to some of those tapes is, if the NRA is not in its strongest position, does that mean gun owners across the country are simply just going to stay home, even though there's 90 plus million other gun owners that are not part of the NRA? I mean, come on, give me a break.
Right. Gun owners will still continue to obviously defend the Second Amendment rights with or without the NRA. They're going to vote for gun rights with or without the NRA telling them who to vote for. And quite frankly, the NRA's gotten those pieces of advice wrong. It's part of the failed strategy of the NRA to simply say, vote Republican, period, without regard for the fact that there are plenty of state-level Democrats, especially, who are pro-gun in their local areas. And, of course, there are plenty of Republicans who haven't been the best friend to gun owners in recent years.
Yeah, that's a fact. All right. Having said that, let me move over to one of the first tapes, Rob. I'd like to do one of these per segment and break these down. These are very, very important depositions. By the way, man, you knocked it out of the park on these depositions. You know how I know that? Because I know a guy who knows a little bit about depositions and spoke to him about the job that you did, and it was exceptional. If I hadn't had a chance to tell you that off air, I'm telling you that on air. Job well done. The first tape we're going to play, Rob, is NRA Pincus deposition document sources. Let's go ahead and play that tape.
Okay. So he sends you a text message on Friday, May 10th, around 6:57 p.m.?
Yes, that begins, that's the beginning of a conversation. As soon as he sent me that, as I recall, I followed the link, saw what he was showing me, which were these leaked documents. There were screenshots or pictures of the documents online. And I responded back to him relatively quickly, as you can see there.
Okay. So you looked at his text message, you saw this picture.
Right, that was a linkable, you know, push it in the iPhone and it takes me to that Facebook page.
Okay. And the Facebook page is At Home FFL?
The At Home FFL that doesn't have an FFL yet.
Okay. Didn't have an FFL as of May 10th.
I don't know, so that's just the name of the page.
Okay.
That's a full name of the page. I don't know. They have a home more than that. They have a unicorn home.
Do you know who created that?
I do. And let me say for the record, I did not know that until within the last week. So I did not know that at this time.
Okay.
This was the first time seeing that. So let me clarify that. I don't want to answer your question improperly. As I sit here today, I know. I became aware of that, I believe, on the 24th of June. I can check a note here very quickly to confirm that, but I did not know that at this time. And as you'll see here very quickly, I tried to find out and was unsuccessful on May 10th. Yeah, June 24th is when I became aware of who controlled that page.
Okay. And were you trying to figure it out the entire time since May 10th?
No.
So you talked to him on May 10th about whether he created this page.
Yeah, we'll go back to the document.
Yeah.
There's a picture on the lower right-hand side of the page that shows a hand holding one of my business cards.
Yes, I see that.
Right, so my request was, do I know you? And I asked him to establish that these weren't fake documents and that he could be trusted, essentially, without needing to reveal himself or his source, which is that note in the dark bubble just above the image of the hand holding my business card.
Okay, Rob, that tape is called Document Sources. It's 2 minutes and 46 seconds in length, and it covers about two or three areas I'd like to get involved with you on, because, I mean, I hear unicorns, I hear I didn't know this then, I hear let me check my text messages, I hear I did know this, I know it now, let me clarify because I want to give you the proper answer, but I didn't know it at the time. What's going on here, and what are they fishing for?
46 seconds really is the crux of why I was subpoenaed. Ostensibly, they wanted to know if I was involved in a quote-unquote leak of documents from either Ackerman McQueen, the PR firm that they're now engaged in a lawsuit with, or from an NRA board of director or staff member specifically inside of NRA headquarters. So I offered to give them a sworn statement and provide the documentation that I was referencing in that clip and simply avoid the entire deposition process to keep them from having to travel to where I was, as you mentioned, in a remote location in Colorado, bring lawyers from Texas, a lawyer from Virginia, setting up a video recording and bring a court reporter in 5-6 hours away from Denver to this small, village sort of in the middle of the mountains in southwestern Colorado. We could have avoided the whole circus simply by letting them take a sworn statement from me and getting that documentation. And we referenced in 2 minutes and 46 seconds. But instead, we did a 5-hour deposition at 10,000 feet elevation in a town hall at a cost of over $20,000 before the first billable hour. And that's probably a conservative estimate when you consider the flights across the country and all of the other things that needed to be arranged and paid for, again, before the first billable hour from any lawyer of prep or the aftermath of that deposition.
All right. A perfect place to take a break because we're getting ready to end this segment. In about 10 seconds, let me ask you this. Who paid for all of that?
NRA members.
That's all I wanted to hear. NRA members paid for all of that in what could have been a sworn statement that you offered to give them, but for whatever reason was unacceptable. When you talk about the appearance, listener, about waste of money, this is exactly what we're talking about. Why was this necessary when it could have been done cheaply? That's your dues we're talking about. I'll be back right after this.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Okay, this one all ends on Friday. My friends at the USCCA are giving you 2 free chances to win $1,776 in their 4th of July Freedom Giveaway. That $1,776 gets you a Ruger Mini 14 Tactical Rifle, Otis Cleaning System, a 9-line American flag wooden sign, and ammo. But it all ends this Friday. So here's what I need you to do. Take out your smartphone and text GET to 87222. You can do it in seconds. The official rules are on the page, and you'll instantly get 2 free chances to win $1,776. That's $1,776 just for texting GET to 87222. It's free money. Don't leave it sitting on the table. It's part of a great cause, too. Defending your Second Amendment rights. That's what the USCCA does. They protect responsible gun owners like us. If this is your absolute last chance to get your free Ruger, Otis cleaning system, and 9-line wooden flag, your 2 free chances to win are waiting. Don't waste them. Text GET to 87222 to get entered. Again, that's GET to 87222.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing even right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a two-pack of my pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher. You're listening to Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues. We're in the midst of the second segment now from these Crossbreed Holster Studios, and I'm talking with my good friend Rob Pincus, who has been neck deep in the National Rifle Association. I guess we can call it a debacle, Rob, right? A debacle is a pretty benign way of calling it a mess, right?
It is quite a mess, for sure.
All right, we heard 2 minutes and 46 seconds in the previous segment of tape, and I want to make this point. This fascinates me. Listener, the best radio you never get to hear is the radio that we talk about during the breaks, and I want to let you know that what Rob and I were discussing as we were potted up together during the break, talking about these upcoming segments, it's so important. It took 2 minutes. I want to make this very clear. It took two full minutes and 46 seconds to determine that Rob Pincus had nothing to do with the document leak, which was, and Rob, you correct me if I'm wrong, the crux of the whole thing.
Yeah, that was the reason that I was subpoenaed. You know, on paper, the official reason was to find out if I was involved in the leak, quote unquote.
The next segment is 4 minutes long. I'm going to play it. I want listeners to hear it because this is an objection. This tape, listen, this is out on the internet. If you want to find it, it's Pincus Deposition. This one is titled Voluntary. And Rob, this was an objection by Ackerman McQueen attorneys. Is that correct?
Yeah, the Ackerman McQueen attorneys have actually filed a complaint with the courts in Virginia stating that the NRA is abusing the process, the subpoena process involved with this case, and that they are not only rushing the entire process, but really that they're doing things that don't make sense in the context of legal precedent and the actual lawsuit. And there's a lot of theories as to why they're doing this. But obviously, for me to be in a room for almost 5 hours answering questions when we settled the issue of whether or not I was involved in the leak very quickly certainly speaks to the other agenda items that the NRA has with these subpoenas and with these depositions as a fact-finding, kind of digging for dirt, looking for some treasure that will help them save face. And the fact of the matter is I probably wasn't even served properly, and that's why I agreed to appear voluntarily, because I want this these issues settled, and obviously I wanted to make sure everybody knew I wasn't involved in the leaks, but people will get to hear the objections and my responses coming up in this segment.
Yeah, this is what we would refer to, listener, as a fishing expedition, no question. That's exactly what it sounds like. Rob, we're going to go ahead and play the tape. Listener, pay very careful attention here. This is kind of fun to listen to. You're going to get to hear the legal wrangling and the nuances of what occurs in what can be a very stressful situation, a deposition. If you've ever participated in one, as I have, you know. Let's take a listen to this.
And let me just begin with that opening objection. The defendants object to this deposition. We move to strike any testimony or exhibits derived from this deposition on the following grounds: that the defendants received notice of this deposition only 2 weeks ago when a subpoena was emailed to our office. That subpoena was issued under Virginia Code Section 8.01-413, but because the deposition was issued to a New Jersey address, and the subpoena states that it requests the issuance of a New Jersey subpoena under New Jersey Rule 4:11-4B, we have not been served with any New Jersey subpoena. Thus, there is no valid and binding subpoena that has been served on opposing counsel for this deposition.
All right, Rob, I'm going to stop the tape right there briefly. It's kind of tough to hear because the opposing counsel for ACMAC is on the phone. And it's a little bit different, a little bit difficult to hear. So I want to walk listeners through it without going through too much of the tape. What we heard there, as you know, was the attorney across from you saying, Rob, we've not met before. And you said, no, I believe we have not. At which point the ACMAC attorney immediately objected and saying that you were sent a subpoena only 2 weeks prior, that it was sent to a New Jersey address, that it was in violation of Virginia law, as you know. What point was he trying to make there in that initial objection?
Well, the lawyers for Ackroyd McQueen did not appear in Colorado. They actually had stated to me prior to the deposition that they didn't believe the deposition would go through because they were objecting so vehemently to the location and the timing. So he was essentially getting that on the record during the deposition very early in the process to suggest that any evidence that comes out of this is probably going to be not part of the court record anyway because of the unusual circumstances under which the deposition was occurring and the fact that I probably wasn't properly served. And if I wasn't properly served, then they could not have been properly made aware of the deposition in a timely manner so that they could properly prepare and arrange to actually be present as opposed to simply phoning it in, so to speak.
So the Ackroyd McQueen attorneys, while you were subpoenaed by the NRA, were actually acting on your behalf here, were they not?
No, not really. It's important to note that I'm not a party to the lawsuit.
So right.
I'm not in any legal jeopardy, as long as I'm complying with any valid subpoena and obviously telling the truth under oath. But I wasn't involved in the lawsuit, nor am I facing any legal issues. So really, the two groups of lawyers are using me as a source of information and really nothing more. But in this particular moment, it certainly appears that the Ackroyd McQueen lawyers were making an argument that definitely benefits me and makes the point that I was appearing voluntarily,
right?
Because it was never my intent to use any legal trickery to avoid trying to help, the American gun owners get this mess solved. The fact that that's the reason I appeared without a lawyer. I had nothing to hide, had nothing to fear. I'm up against some of the highest paid lawyers in the country that the NRA could find in that way. But again, I don't see it as antagonistic other than the fact that there was an incredible inconvenience and expense.
Are Brewer's attorneys involved in this?
Yeah, Mr. Collins that was asking me if he to state that we had never met is actually part of the Brewer law firm in Texas. So Robert Cox is with a separate law firm because Mr. Brewer cannot currently practice law in Virginia. He's got some ethics issues in Texas, and he's been told that he cannot represent the NRA in Virginia. But Mr. Collins, who works for him, was brought up from his law firm, while Mr. Cox works for a law firm in Virginia that is directly handling the case for the NRA. So it gets a little confusing, but Mr. Brewer certainly has his hand in the situation for sure.
Yeah, he's got more than his hand in the situation. Let me make this very clear so listeners understand, and I'll get some clarification from Rob here. But Brewer's firm, from what we know, was being paid. And this is what kind of ticked off Oliver North and started the whole mess, frankly, was part of the expenditures that North didn't like as president before he was ousted. And that actually was the fact that Brewer was being paid, when he looked at the legal fees, about $1 million a month in legal fees. Now, based on that, we know that to be true. Then I'm going to assume this guy's name is Cox. It's working on behalf of Brewer.
Cox is the Virginia attorney representing the NRA, and Mr. Collins, who was asking
Mr. Collins, okay, was works for Brewer.
Works for the Brewer firm.
So I'm going to assume, based on those numbers, that Collins is probably making at least billing, I'm going to guess, maybe $100. I mean, a solid $100 a day here, at least, right?
Oh, I think that probably barely scratches the surface of him walking into the room.
Okay, he's kind of like a $100 million athlete that gets paid $156,000 every time he steps up to the plate per pitch.
Right.
I mean, the whole thing is just crazy to me. It really is truly crazy to me. All right, in the essence of time, let me wrap up this segment by stating the obvious, what we all know to be the case. A ton of money is wasted. Rob goes in and answers the questions without an attorney because he has nothing to hide. And the entire process could have been summed up and was summed up in 2 minutes and 46 seconds, as we went over in the previous segment. It's pretty much that simple. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot, and that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. But you're not alone. USCCA is here to help. Simply go to usccaonair.com to learn more about the education, training, and legal protection you need to become a responsibly armed American. With their education and training, you'll learn
how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, exactly what to say to the police after an incident, and a whole lot more. With their legal protection, you'll get access to over $1 million in civil and criminal defense funds, the USCCA Critical Response Team, and a nationwide network of experienced attorneys. Plus, there's always a special bonus when you join. So head over to usccaonair.com right now to reveal what you can get for free today. It could be a free knife or even the chance to win a brand new gun. Just visit usccaonair.com to find out. Once again, that's usccaonair.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become their first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. That's why hundreds of thousands of responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll get four free chances to win a new gun. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim the chance to win the free gun of your dreams.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hey there, Mark Walters here. If you're a gun owner like me, or honestly, if you just really like getting free stuff, and you know I do, I talk about it all the time, you should head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. Seriously, there's always something great from the USCCA just waiting for you at armedandresponsible.com. Sometimes it's a free USCCA gun giveaway. Sometimes it's free training, but it's always worth a few seconds to check it out. After all, how often can you just type a few words and get something for free? It only takes a few seconds. Plus, anytime you go to armedandresponsible.com, you're going to find something to help you along your journey as a responsibly armed American. And that's what it's all about. The USCCA is the absolute leader when it comes to providing the education, training, and financial and legal protection gun owners need. Plus, they just love giving away free stuff, and I'm a big fan. Remember, these great free bonuses disappear regularly, so you're going to want to head over right now to see what's there today. You don't want to miss it. Head over to armedandresponsible.com right now. That's armedandresponsible.com. armedandresponsible.com. This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by Taser Self-Defense. Visit taser.com to meet your new sidekick. Okay, Rob Pincus, welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Crossbreed Holster Studios with me. You've been here many, many, many times before, but I don't think I've seen or heard anything quite as compelling from you over all of these years that we've done this together as this next segment that I'm going to play. Now, this is a 7 minute and 26 second tape, of which we're going to play, Rob, just two clips of a couple minutes apiece. And this is titled Criticism, LaPierre. And it is your deposition where you are being asked about your criticism of Wayne LaPierre. And it's quite compelling deposition testimony, is it not?
Well, it is. And it was important because there obviously was established very quickly that I wasn't part of the leak. So one of the things that's been brought up is, okay, what are the other reasons that one might subpoena Rob Pincus for a deposition? And obviously, for a lot of people, this is the kind of thing that silences any criticism. It's the kind of thing that someone might due to a political opponent or someone in the public space who's being critical of you is you subpoena them. And not only might it have a chilling effect on them, I hope it hasn't chilled me at all. I think I've been just as vocal about criticisms of the current state of the NRA as I would have been had I not been subpoenaed for deposition. But I fear that there have been some people who have not talked to me nearly as freely or maybe even at all over the past few weeks because they knew this deposition was sort of hanging out there. And there's a lot of people that just don't want to be brought into this kind of a political, legal situation. But I think that for all the reasons that people are about to hear, it's very important that those of us who know what's been going on do speak out.
And boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to just ask you this question up front. You don't have to answer it. I'm going to guess, educated so, that some of those people who might not want to talk, and you talk about what someone might do to political opponents. This is a clear example of that. Might be NRA board members that might want to talk to you or might normally would have, but won't now. Are we talking about some board members here?
Yeah, definitely. There are board members who were communicating with me much more frequently and much more freely prior to the subpoena being made public.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. Let's go ahead and play a couple minutes of this tape. And I'm going to start this off at about 3 minutes and 34 seconds into it, listener. At some point in time, if you want to listen to this on your own, you can do so. Let's hear some of this tape.
Criticism around Mr. LaPierre and his tenure of leadership at the National Rifle Association is entirely contained, I shouldn't say entirely, is primarily contained within the nature of the relationship between the National Rifle Association and Ackerman McQueen / Mercury Group, which I felt like had been far too close and potentially far too twisted to accurately and appropriately represent the American gun owners in the fight for our Second Amendment rights going back into the 1990s. Quite frankly, I was afraid of something just like we're dealing with right now.
Did your criticisms begin, Mr. LaPierre, begin in the 1990s?
No, to be fair, my criticism is much more about the strategies developed and the systems and structure in place at the NRA, particularly over the last decade, which I only in the last decade have really learned started in the 1990s. I was a little bit naive and became very disillusioned with the leadership of the NRA over time. But I certainly thought very highly and still think very highly of many of the contributions that Mr. LaPierre has made, and some of the aspects of the relationship with Ackerman McQueen obviously were positive. But I have a very different view of that 1990s era now than I did when I first entered into the industry in the late 90s, mid-90s.
All right, let me stop that tape right there, Rob. Rob, that's compelling stuff. When you're being asked specifically about criticism, direct criticism of Wayne LaPierre and going back to the 90s, there were a couple things I think were important in your answer. And this is what I loved about your deposition testimony was when you made the distinction between entirely and primarily. Virtually nothing is all or nothing or everything. And that's what you were distinguishing between. When you said entirely, that meant the whole kit and caboodle, everything. And you stopped and said primarily, which left room for a major portion of, but not everything, correct? I think it's important. Why did you make that distinction?
Yeah, remember that in a deposition, you know, I was under oath. And when we say things, you try to avoid absolutes anyway, because, you know, most of the time, there is no absolute 100% answer or reason for anything. There's always, things are complex. And certainly these issues with the NRA are complex. And my feelings about the NRA and Mr. LaPierre, the relationship with Ackerman McQueen, are complex. But it was also important to establish that one of the main reasons I've been so critical over the last decade of the relationship between the NRA and Ackerman McQueen was because many of us saw something exactly like what's happening this year as the inevitable conclusion of this incestuous relationship between the NRA and ACMAC. And here I am sitting in a deposition that could have been avoided had the NRA changed the relationship or avoided the relationship with Ackerman McQueen, 20 years ago, or at any point in the last 20 years. Evolving that relationship would have avoided most, if not all, of this mess.
Yeah, you just answered one of my questions, and that is, why are you neck deep here, man? Why are you in this? What's the basis for it? I know the answer to that, but I want listeners to hear it.
Well, a lot of people believe that the NRA feels that I've been overly critical. Maybe, personally, Mr. LaPierre may feel that way. And they're expending some resources to try to quiet that very vocal criticism. Obviously, it's not working out well for them at all. And I think now there's even more outrage from people who were maybe just on the sidelines of this, who've now seen what happens when someone speaks out and criticizes and shares information. Of course, I've been talking to the media. I've been talking through social media. I talk here on Armed American Radio about the situation. And this is a very serious situation that many American gun owners, current and former NRA members or potential NRA members, are concerned about. And obviously, there's a contingent of leadership inside of the NRA that would rather we just pretend none of this is happening.
Well, that's impossible now. And Rob, we've only got another couple minutes in this segment, and I've got another portion of this part of the deposition that I want to play. It's only about 30 or about 50 seconds, but what we'll do, if it's okay with you, is we'll continue this conversation, put an exclamation point on the first part of the tape, and then I'll go into the next one in the final segment of this hour. Does that sound fair?
I think that sounds like a good idea. It really is something that's worth people taking the time. The reason I wanted to share this information, and by the way, I believe that the actual official transcripts from the court recorder and the videographer that were brought in by the NRA's lawyers are going to end up being put under a protective order. The lawyers with Ackerman McQueen and the NRA were going back and forth over whether or not this information would be public during the deposition. But the lawyers were very clear that my recordings, what we're listening to now, are certainly not restricted in any way. And I thought it was important for people to hear exactly what we were talking about in the room. And again, to remind all NRA members and NRA donors, they funded this.
Yeah, that's the part that most people, I don't think, really realize. And, honestly, Rob, between me, you, and a fence, unless you're really plugged in here, the vast majority, I would say probably maybe 90% or higher of NRA members over the years did not even know Ackerman McQueen existed. Would you think that's a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. The idea, people are just now figuring out that something is as forward-facing as NRA TV wasn't even owned or controlled by the NRA. And that's just part of the dysfunction that has existed.
Yeah, those of us in media understood that. We knew that Ackerman McQueen was involved. And you've got good people, good friend of mine, Cam Edwards. You've got Dana and others out there now, Colin and others, who are now out because of the collapse of the relationship between the National Rifle Association and Ackerman McQueen. And a lot of people didn't even know that they were part and parcel as partners for all of those years. When we come back, I'm going to wrap up this hour, as Kurt Schilling would say. I'm going to close it out by playing an additional part of this tape I think you're going to find fascinating. I'll be back with Rob Pincus right after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Unfortunately, in today's day and age, you just can't trust the system. That's why the USCCA stands by their members and their promise of education, training, and protection. Every responsibly armed American needs to get USCCA coverage now before it's too late. Even law-abiding, responsible gun owners are at risk to lose everything in today's world. So don't think it can't happen to you. You've worked hard on what you have. Don't let the rigged system take it all away. Visit USCCA.com to learn more. That's USCCA.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With the simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio. Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast, man. We've come to segment four already. Time flies. As my dear friend Kurt Schilling says, we're not sliding into home. No, we're closing it out, because that's what he did so well. You close it out and win. And that's what we're going to do here in segment four. Before I get going with Rob again, a couple things I want to point out to you. Grilling While Armed is now out on Amazon. You know what we've done. We pair up great barbecue recipes for you, and George Hill, the Mad Ogre, matches it up with a great gun. What's more American than barbecue and guns? Nothing. Maybe grandma's apple pie, especially if she showed up wearing a gun on her hip while she was delivering the apple pie to the great barbecue that you were cooking and smoking up the neighborhood in while wearing a sidearm. You get the idea. Grilling While Armed is now available on Amazon. We're super proud of it. It's doing really well. Go out and get your copy of it. Grilling While Armed on Amazon. Let's go back to the great Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome back. This is really compelling stuff. I'm appreciative of you coming on to talk about this deposition. A lot of this has been made public, which is why we can do this now. And I was privy to this before it was made public. And my question at that time was, wow, I wonder how much of this is going to be made public. I was concerned about that.
Yeah, I think it's important that American gun owners, and especially the NRA members and the voting members who are going to be deciding on whether or not they support the current board of directors, whether they support proposed bylaw changes to make the organization more efficient, and ultimately whether or not they support the LaPierre regime, the current leadership of the NRA. I think this information is important for people to consider, even not just the way the whole thing played out, but some of the details of the history that now become important. There's things we talk about in some of these clips going back, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years that maybe didn't need to be talked about except to explain how we got here today and how I end up in a deposition in the middle of a lawsuit that I really have nothing to do with between the NRA and one of its closest collaborators.
Simply because you're a vocal proponent of wanting to see a strong NRA and you have an opinion of what a strong NRA looks like. That's why you were sitting there. I mean, isn't that really the crux of it?
I think so. You know, we formed the organization Save the Second, savethe2a.org, where we proposed 5 points of reform. I'm together there with other gun rights advocates and former NRA employees who've seen some of these problems from the inside. And these steps that we're taking are not appreciated by everyone inside of NRA headquarters, obviously.
Well, let's take a listen now to about another 50-second clip regarding that criticism of Wayne LaPierre. Here we go.
In my mind, and I want to be clear about this, and I've also shared this publicly, especially since the NRA annual meeting this year, the issues that the NRA is facing right now have occurred under Mr. LaPierre's watch, and I obviously believe he's very accountable to the situation, but I do not believe that he is solely responsible for the situation. So my criticisms that have included Mr. LaPierre have not been personal, nor do I believe that all of the problems facing our community because of the problems with the NRA are his responsibility or he is solely responsible. So when you ask me about criticism of Mr. LaPierre, I would, and I more often refer to the LaPierre regime, which obviously is criticism of him, but that's an inclusive criticism of many things.
All right. I think that's the exclamation point, if you will, on the whole criticism thing, because a lot of people are feeling or acting as if the criticism, if you will, of Wayne LaPierre has been so personal when it hasn't been personal. The criticism of LaPierre has been as the head of the National Rifle Association and the direction and what we see happening right now. And I think we all agree that this is self-inflicted, stepped in your own mess kit here. And we have a right as members to criticize what we don't like about the organization. Don't we do that when we go to stockholder meetings if we participate or vote by proxy? Aren't we doing the exact same thing? Don't we have a right to do that as members who want to see a strong NRA coming into what is going to be the worst anti-gun, most vicious anti-gun campaign we've ever seen in our lifetimes? Don't we have a right to expect that as paying members of the organization?
Of course we do. And that was really, that's the where this all starts this year for a lot of people, is the annual meeting of the members that took place in Indianapolis during the NRA convention, when we stood up on the mics at very much like a shareholders meeting during the opportunity that members have, the very limited opportunity that members have to speak to the board and to the officers of the NRA in a public forum. And we expressed concerns not just about LaPierre personally. And fact is, if LaPierre stepped down tomorrow but nothing else changed, we still have a lot of problems. He's really become a figurehead for the problems. But while he holds responsibility and accountability for this happening during his tenure, he is not the problem. He is just the guy who let the problems or created the problems in some cases, let the problems exist.
Ironically, it was Ackerman McQueen that created and forged that reputation that we all know of Wayne LaPierre. They've created that image, if you will, almost the caricature. That's what good ad agencies do, and they've done an amazing job at it. When you think of you see LaPierre's photograph everywhere. He has become the figurehead because of Ackerman McQueen, and here we see them embroiled in this mess. You know, the irony of seeing, and I have photographs of it from the convention just a couple months back, Rob, as I know you do, of LaPierre and Chris Cox and Oliver North up on the you know, the board up there at the big NRA booth, and then 2 months later it's only LaPierre and everybody else is gone. A lot of gun owners are shaking their heads. But I want to point something out, and I think this is important, and I think your commentary here is important. Let's just say I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and I mentioned how many NRA members of the 5.5 million truly know what's happening here. When you look at the size of an NRA annual meeting convention, you've got roughly 86,000, I guess would be a good safe average over the last 5 years, of about 86,000, between 80 and 90,000, I'll put it that way, is a fair number and an accurate number, that show up to this convention out of 5.5 million gun owners or members. How many members are really even truly paying attention to any of this at all?
It's really a shockingly small number. Even the number of NRA members that vote is a shockingly small number, and we're hoping to change that. And I think that's why this program is so important. I appreciate you having me on to talk about these things. And, you know, there is one more minute worth listening to, I think, for sure, to sort of, you know, put this in the perspective, the 1 minute clip where I explain my criticism of Akron McQueen. And as you just noted, really echoing my points, the Akron McQueen firm has been really, really good at doing what they do. Unfortunately, I think what they have done has not been in the best interests of American gun owners or our Second Amendment rights. And that is to pigeonhole the messaging of the NRA into a very divisive, fear-mongering identity politics conservative message, as opposed to a pro-gun rights pure message that we deserve as American gunners.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have enough time for this. This is a whole nother show, but I've never heard this question asked, so I'm going to ask it now. Could that possibly be because the makeup of the enemies of our right to bear arms has changed so radically and is now so well-funded that the NRA just didn't see it coming and is now having to change gears and hop into another boat maybe and go a different direction, and ACMAC just didn't see it coming, nor did the NRA. We've only got 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm afraid that they weren't paying attention because what they were paying attention to was fundraising. And it's a lot easier to fundraise when you narrowly market your message to one group, as opposed to really try to appeal to and represent 100 million diverse American gun owners. And that's one of the pivots that needs to be made.
Armed American Radio's MonsterCast from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I close out every hour with this. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. I want to thank Rob Pincus for being here in a very frank discussion that needs to be had. Well, I'll tell you, it's compelling stuff, and I'm glad to be able to bring it to the airwaves for you. Thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.